If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 16, starting with verse 19, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Thank you, Sister Elaine, for doing a good job of leading our choir and the music ministry. It says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, as the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will believe or repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I want to share a few truths this morning with you about this place called hell. An illustration: just outside of San Francisco is a rock. They call that rock Alcatraz. It's where the prison is located. Now, Alcatraz is in the San Francisco Bay. It is not an operating prison today, but when it did hold prisoners there, it was considered a place of exile. In and of itself, it was a pretty tough place to get out of. But Alcatraz is also surrounded by the shark-infested waters of the San Francisco Bay. The body of water kept the prisoners from enjoying the life of San Francisco, which was not very far away. Well, the Bible says that hell will be placed into a lake of fire, not so far from heaven that people sentenced to that eternal damnation, that they won't be able to know about the enjoyment of the folks in heaven. The lake of fire will not allow people into this eternal, will not allow the prisoners or the people in this eternal prison to get away or to go anywhere. You question, why can't they go anywhere? Because the rock is in a lake. And when the rich man opened his eyes in hell, the Bible says that he saw Lazarus afar off. You see, Alcatraz, when you're located there, you can see San Francisco. From Alcatraz, you can see the tall buildings, the high rises. You can see life pulsating in that big city. All a prisoner can do is simply look at where he could have been, where he would like to be, but will never be. The worst part about hell is being able to look up and to see in heaven and to see all the wonderful things that are going on in that place called heaven, and know that you'll never be able to get there because you're in a lake of fire. And the Bible says death and hell in Revelation chapter 20 was cast into a lake of fire. And this is the second death. Hell is surrounded by that lake of fire and brimstone. It is a fire that is, or it's a lake that is smoldering with fire, and no one can swim across it. It's simply like having the shark-infested waters. You cannot escape that place, even if you were basically a nice person as far as the world considers, but you rejected Jesus Christ. You see, hell is a place that the Bible calls the second death. It is a place where the stench of death never leaves. It is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hell is an awful place. A doctor, his phone rings one night. One of his patients is desperately ill. The doctor examines him and rushes him to the hospital. The man needs a particular surgery if he is going to live. And so the doctor performs that surgery, even though he would really rather not do it. But he knows that's the only chance that this man's that he has in order to live. The patient is in a desperate condition, and he needs to operate to save his life. Well, a preacher stands every Sunday before a congregation of people, and he is to proclaim the Word of God. God has already diagnosed the case. He said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So all are in the same boat, all are in desperate need of a spiritual surgery that only God can perform. So a preacher has no leeway to say anything but the truth. He is to proclaim the whole truth of God, the whole counsel of God, and that includes talking sometimes about unpleasant subjects. One called hell. In fact, there's more in the Bible about hell than there is about heaven. I know that if you would ask folks what they thought about hell, many would say this morning that I hate the very thought of hell. But I'm here to tell you that we hate the very thought of penitentiaries, death chambers, adultery, murder. We hate those things. But I'm here to tell you this morning that they are real. And because that we have folks that are sinners, there is a need for that place called hell. But regardless of how we feel about hell, it is a reality. I don't know of any preacher that thoroughly enjoys preaching on the subject of hell. And I know that if a preacher was to declare, and if I had said last Sunday that I'm going to preach on hell this Sunday morning, some folks might not have shown up because of the fact that it tells us of unpleasant truths. It has a sting to it, and many shun it. Well, some truths about hell. The first truth is the fact that it exists. It seems that God, in his original plan, that there was no provision for this place called hell. But the necessity of such came when the Bible tells us that Satan and his imps rebelled in heaven against God, and they lost the battle. And they were kicked out of heaven and they went down to earth. And the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And if we go there, we go there as intruders, but go there because we follow after the devil. And we let him dictate how we're going to live. Jesus spoke of a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That simply reminds us of the fact that when you go there, your body is not going to be consumed. It reminds us of the fact that your body is suited for that place called hell, and it will always exist. And something else that will always exist is that fire that is in hell. It'll never be extinguished. The Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. The Bible also says we're to fear him, the one who can cast body and soul into hell. Now, whether a person wants to believe in hell or not really doesn't matter. The fact that it exists is because this is what God has told us. And we know that he is omnipotent. And we know that he cares about us and does not want us to go there. And as I stated, if we go, we will go as an intruder. Peter tells us that God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them unto chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. John said, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I don't know how you can say it any plainer than what the Bible has given us. And it just reminds us that we're just passing through this life. And brethren, we don't have any assurance that we're going to live another day. There are young folks dying all around us today. It's not just folks that's up in years. God help us to be ready. Because we know there's some things we cannot avoid. You can't avoid death. It's appointed unto a man once to die. You can't avoid judgment. After death comes the judgment. The Bible said it's an appointment that we all must keep. Folks may say, preacher, I don't believe in hell. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter. Because it's a reality. It's real. There is a place. And I think one of the torments of hell will be the fact that those that are there will be able to some way look up into heaven and see all the saints of God enjoying the blessings of God. And know in their heart, oh, what might have been if I had only received Christ. One of the torments of hell will be the fact of memory. Knowing that there were opportunities that came your way to become a Christian. And you said no. Brother, there are folks in hell that are weeping and crying out, oh, what might have been. I heard the gospel preached, and I could see that preacher up there telling me to come forward and receive Christ, but I said no. And I came down to the end of my life. Most folks die suddenly with their boots on. Not expecting to die, but they die. So it behooves all of us this morning to be ready to meet the Lord. Memory will be a torment in hell. Your rejection of Jesus Christ will be a part of the fuel. I think the hottest fire that will ever burn in hell will be the knowledge that you willfully rejected Jesus Christ. Willfully. You know, if I could, I'd do it by proxy. For every sinner, I would bow down and pray God's forgiveness on their life. But I can't do that. As much as we'd all like to do that, we've got loved ones, we've got family, we've got friends, we've got working companions that we know if they die the way they live, they're going to hell. And it doesn't matter what a preacher says at a funeral. It's what God says. And the Word of God tells us you must be born again. You must be born again. There is another truth about hell. There is no escape from it. You know, there's an exit from this old earth, and that exit is called death. We know it is appointed once to die. And all of us, 80 years or if by reason of strength we live to be 80 years of age, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, it is soon cut off and we fly away. I'm here to tell you this morning that you might escape this old earth. And Christ came down from heaven in the fullness of time, robed with human flesh to live among us, that he might die for the sins of all the world. Moses and Elijah came down from heaven to the Mount of Transfiguration. And someday the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and he will split the eastern sky. But there is no escape from hell. You can go to a federal prison and you can see yourself maybe getting out of there some way, somehow. You can outsmart the law, but you can't get out of hell. It is a place that is eternal. Another truth about hell is the fact that it never, ever ends. The Israelites in Egypt had the hope that someday their bondage would end. And after 400 years, God sent Moses to lead them out of the land of bondage to the promised land. The slaves in the Southland had the hope that one day they would be free. And that freedom came when Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. A man is sick. He's in the hospital. He hopes, he prays, I'm going to get better. And I'm going to get well. And I'm going to resume my walk of life. You see, they will end. But hell will not end. Hell will not end. A man murders someone. A burglar comes and robs someone. Or someone just rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God calls out for all of those to be saved, but if they don't, then they'll be in hell for all eternity. And then the fact of who will inhabit that place called hell. The people in hell will come from every race, every class, every color. Some people on earth feel as though that they're too good to associate with those in that lower class. But in hell, you'll suffer with the lowest of the low. Look at those that will inhabit hell. In Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. A lot of folks say, well, preacher, my name is not in that group. If you're an unbeliever, it is. You see, I really believe this morning that one of the blackest, the meanest, the vilest sins that you can ever commit is for the Savior who was there on the cross of Calvary, extends out his arms and says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you spiritual rest. And then for you to say, no, I'll not come. I'll not bend my knee to the will of God for my life. I will not accept you as my own Lord and Savior. How tragic. That's the blackest sin that a person can ever commit. And then another truth, why are so many going there? The Bible speaks of a broad highway that's crowded with people. It's a downward road. And you can see them today from every walk of life on that road. There are rich folks, there are poor folks, and all in between. There are hardened sinners, and there are those that just don't believe, but morally they're good people. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter. If you're on that road because you did not receive Jesus Christ, you're just as bad, if not worse, than any of the rest of them that are there. Hell is a place of punishment. I've told this story a few times, but I think it's apropos for this morning. There was a man that he was weary, troubled about his life. He was a sinner. He went to the bar before he came home from work that evening, thinking he could drown his sorrows and he could put it all behind him. And he came home after he had had several drinks, didn't undress himself, just fell across the bed, and he started to dream. All of a sudden in his dream, the door opens, and three people come in. They have shackles and chains, and they come, and they shackle his hands and his feet. They pick him up from the bed and they lead him out of the house. He says, fellas, I don't want to go. Please don't make me go. They never said a word. They just kept on walking. They got on a road that was a broad, broad road, and it was downward. As he went down the road, he cried, fellas, where are you taking me? Please tell me where you're taking me. I don't want to go. They never said a word. After a little while, he could see in the end of the road that there was a bright glow and something moving ever so slowly in the midst of that glow. He got closer and he saw that it was flames. It was fire. And in the midst of that fire, there appeared to be a giant Ferris wheel going ever so slowly in the midst of the flame. As they got closer, he said, fellas, I don't want to go. Please let me go. They got down to the end, and there was a seat just for him. They strapped him in, that big Ferris wheel, and he started up in the midst of the flames, and he cried out from feverish lips, please let me go. Let me go. But they never said a word. Finally, one, the old master devil, he made the statement. He said, look at the clock of God. And he looked over at that clock of God, and it said 5 minutes to 12 o'clock. He said, when the clock of God reaches 12 o'clock, you'll be set free. Each revolution was 5 million years, and he'd be set free. He went around and went around. There's 3 minutes till, 2 minutes till, 1 minute till. Finally, the third or the last time, the fifth time, he went around and he just knew that he was going to be set free. When he got close to the bottom, he began to shout, said, "I paid my price. Please set me free. I can't stand it any longer." But he got to the bottom and no one moved to set him free. And he started up the next time and he cried out from those burnt, feverish lips, "Please set me free. I cannot stand it any longer." Then the old master devil said, "My son, have you looked at the clock of God?" And his eyes turned to that clock. And when he did, it still said 1 minute till. He said, "You see, this clock of God is broken. It'll never reach 12 o'clock. You see, when a person goes to hell, they will stay there. They'll never get out. And it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And there'll be folks that would not come to a prayer meeting on Wednesday night in life. But on that day when they go into hell, there'll be a prayer meeting like you've never seen before. They cry out, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus down that he may take a drop of water and place it on my fevered, cracked lips and tongue. I am tormented in this flame and I can't stand it any longer." Oh, they'll pray for mercy. They'll not pray for justice. They've got justice and they know that. But they'll pray for mercy. And they'll ask God to please forgive them and cleanse them of all their sins. Hell, it's real. It's real. Nobody ought to want to go there, and in their right mind, they wouldn't. But the devil says, "You've got plenty of time. You can wait. There's always tomorrow." But you don't know that. All you know, you've got today. You've got now. And he says, "Come unto me." Will you come this morning as we pray?